There's a fascinating insight that one could derive from examination, overall examination of the parsha. There's two parshas. I'm going to focus on the Vayikra, the Sabbat, the Vayikra Chafei. The parsha begins here in Bahar with the Dinam of Shmita V'Yovel. Then the Torah in Perach Chafei, Pasuk Gedalet, goes on to describe an Issa which is known as Onas Mamon. We're not allowed to defraud or to treat in a mecha chamemka, in a transaction, treat someone fraudulently. The pasuk says, "V'chisim ko mimkol abisecha, al kono mi'adam abisecha, al tonu ish esochim." Don't engage in any overcharging. So the question, of course, is what's the connection between the first issue, which is Shmita V'Yovel, and the issue which is known as Onas Mamon? The simple pshat, again, the Torah goes on, the pasuk says, well, the Torah tells us, which means that the price is going to be established based on the number of years between the time the sale took place and the Yovel year. That's why the Torah connects these two parshias. But the Gemara has a different, very original explanation of these two. The Gemara says in Kedusha, one of the most famous Gemaras. I'll read the language of the Gemara and then we'll go explain the connection that the Gemara has. Bo re'e kama kasha afko shel shvius. What seems to be a very light prohibition, namely one is not allowed to traffic with peres or shvius. We just underwent the Shemitah year, so we're quite familiar with the aloha. Namely, we're not allowed to do skora, the Gemara says a sukkah, that lo'ochla below the skora. We're not allowed to do skora with peres or shvius. And that's considered to be, the Gemara calls it avak shvius. There's a din avak hashanara, avak rivis. There's also a din of avak shvius. We're talking about the isa skora. Why is it considered to be a relatively light isa? Because there's no negative prohibition, there's no lav, there's only what the Gemara calls the isra aseh. That's how Rashi writes over there, Kedushin Dachof, and the Gemara in Sukkah, where the Gemara says, lo'ochla below the skora. So that's a isra aseh. Isra aseh means the Torah has expressed the prohibition in positive terms. That the idea is that one should eat the fruit of the peres shvius. And Chazal, from that positive formulation, derived a negative. It's called the isra aseh, or lav abad b'chal aseh, lo'ochla below the skora. So that's considered to be a relatively light isra. And the Gemara goes on to say, I read Lashon the Gemara. Adam dosi v'nosim peres shvius. Person does business with peres shvius, which you're not allowed to do. Skora is also with peres shvius. So the Gemara says, because of the pasuk that I just mentioned, so the Gemara in Sukkah, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, so what's going to happen? The Gemara said there's going to be now a denouement, a diminution of the precedent situation. Lesof, okay, you do that. Okay, so Hashem will compel you. Moches metaltala. That's the next series of sukkim here. If you look at, I'm just reading now, sukkim chafei, per chafei. I started with Aleph to Gimel, which is Shmita V'Yovel. Went on to your Dalit, which is the Isra of Onas Mamon. I'm continuing now in my merry way, if you don't mind. Pasuk Vav, Vayikra Chafei Vav. Now the Torah says you're going to sell your movable property. Shenem v'shnas hayom v'lazos, toshuv v'ishak muzaso. And then next to it, v'chisim kumim kol amisecha. What's the juxtaposition of these parshas? Comes to teach you, someone violates the laws of Shvius of the seventh year, even the Isra Pal, even what's called Avak Shvius. So the Gemara says he's going to be punished. He's going to be compelled to sell his movable property, his metalpin, his chafotzin, once he violated the tziv of the Torah, and then the Torah, in effect, tells us that there's not going to be, as I described a moment ago, a diminution of his situation. Look at the hemshech. First, he'll sell his metalpin. If he doesn't do tshuva, then the Gemara says he's going to be compelled to sell his field, his real estate. If he doesn't do tshuva, he's going to be compelled to sell his house. Subsequently, he's going to be compelled to sell his daughter as an amei vriya, as a maidservant. Subsequently, the Gemara says, again, it's not all written explicitly in the parsha, but the Gemara derives from the juxtaposition of the psukim, this continuum. Then he's going to be obligated to borrow money with interest. Then he's going to have to sell himself as an eved. Look, we're going down, down, down. And finally, he's going to sell himself to a goy, till literally he's going to be a shamish lav of the Zohar. That's the Gemara Kedushin, famous Gemara in Daflov, all derived from the trafficking with fruit of the seventh year, of the Shemitah year, which one is not allowed to do at Isur Kal, but it will lead, if he does not do tshuva, literally from Midechi al Dechi, or they know in the modern Hebrew, Mipach al Pach, however you want to describe it. So here, the Gemara began with the expression, Kama kosher af kosher shvitz. How difficult is this issue? And the person can literally descend to the depths of depravity. He does not do tshuva. And once a person continues and the person does not recognize, does not realize what he has done, when the Gemara says in Kedusha, also the same Gemara over there, the Gemara says, Kevin Sha'ava Adam Avera Bishanaba, person does an Avera, and he becomes a recidivist and does it again and again and again. Nasis Lokaheta. Then it becomes something which he thinks may be permissible. And therefore, this Ma'avar, Mishlav, Mishlav, the Gemara is describing literally going from one. One shlav to another shlav, and the evolution, that's what the Torah arranged all these pashos with one long continuum, one follows upon the heels of the other. What's amazing to me, and this is the fascinating aspect that I always found to be absolutely astounding and astonishing, with all the kas that the Torah has this regarding this individual who committed a terrible transgression, and with all that which the Torah tells us is going to happen to him, and he's going to fall, and he's going to falter, and yet, the Torah is concerned at every shlav, at every segment of his fall, of his descent, the Torah is worried about him. Namely, let's start. I read the pasuk Chafei Yudal over here. When he sells his metalflin, he's compelled to sell his movable property or his real estate, the Torah is worried, Al Tonu Shesochim, don't overcharge him. Even though he's compelled to sell his property, movables and non-movables, don't engage in any kind of odor. Subsequently, the Torah says, a bit later, Pasuk Lamed, hey, even when he's yorim in the chasam, ve'achzaktavo, what do you have to do? He lost his real estate. He lost his movables. And yet the Torah says you have to support him. But there are come, make sure that he's able to still maintain a living. They won't have to, Rashi says, won't have to have recourse to tzedakah. Let's say you can't help him that way. Okay, the Torah says, lend him money. And guess what? When you lend him money, again, I'm reading Pasuk Lamed Vav, al tikach me'ito neshev v'saris. You're not allowed to take interest from this fellow. Why does the Torah say you can't take interest? The Torah explains it. V'chei achicha imach. How do you explain that? V'chei achicha imach. So little in the hemshech of the psukim. Lamed ches. Ani Hashem alokeichem asher otzei seschem eretz Yitzrayim. L'osei slochem eseretz kenam v'yos slochem elokim. This is a famous pasuk. Rashi on the spot cites the Gemara Ksuvus and Afkofiud. We're at the end of Ksuvus. Pasuk says, I am Hashem your God, who took you out of Egypt to give you Eretz Yisrael, liyos lachem Elokim, says the Gemara, Kol Adar Eretz Yisrael, whoever lives in Israel, Hashem is Elokim. Whoever leaves Eretz Yisrael is guilty of idolatry. Giloim Abel Zohar. Famous Gemara. What's the connection here? Here again, the Torah tells you the same idea. In the context of what Pasha? Of Ribis. Torah says he has to maintain somehow his homeostasis. He has to somehow maintain his integrity, his dignity. So don't take Ribis, don't take interest from him, even though he's compelled to borrow money. Why? The Torah wants you and him to live together in Eretz Yisrael. We don't want him to escape, to go back to Teaneck, New Jersey. Because of increasing debt, because of his situation that has obviously underwent a descent, a deterioration, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, in order that we should live in Eretz Yisrael, not live in Chutz Lars. That's what the pasuk says very clearly. And the Torah is worried about that this person, this chote, who is undergoing a descent, a gradual kind of descent, that Chas v'Shalom, he may be in a position socioeconomically where he won't be able to maintain his integrity in Eretz Yisrael. They'll have to leave and go to Chutz Lars. So that's v'chei achicha imach. By the way, the Gemara derives a thesis in Bava Metzia on Daf Ayin, I believe, places there has a comment on this. Someone who's malveh beribis lo kam etchias ha'esel. Someone who lends money with interest will not be zocher. Had the Gemara deriving from this juxtaposition. Al tikach miito neshek mitzaris bechei achicha imach, which the Gemara interprets. Places points this out. Don't take ribis in order that the loveh, when in effect, when he Baruch Hashem undergoes and experiences Triyas HaMesim, he'll be with you. You'll also become a Triyas HaMesim. You, the Malveh, will also be able to somehow have a Triyas HaMesim. But if you take Ribis, then the Loma himself will live with Triyas HaMesim. And you, the Malveh, will not be part of it. That's how the Rishonim derived the Pasuk. Okay, it's not there. The Shuto Shavikba, because of that's what you see in Chazal. So even if the Chote continues to undergo this descent where he's compelled to be sold as an Eben, now look at Chafei Pasuk Membeis. The Torah says, still, the Torah continues to be worried about him. Lo yimachu keres ovi. You can't put him on the auction block. You can't sell him b'derech shel bizoyon, says Rashi. Al even hamekach, an auction block. I don't know how many here have read Uncle Tom's Cabin. I imagine you're probably not into that literature. Maybe you are. You and I are from the same door. Anyway, so that's a good thing. The fiat is 19. So that's it. I mean, to go ahead and publicize the fact that I have an evidence to sell, put it on the auction block, you're supposed to sell it in Sina. And now I continue. Pasuk Mem Gimel. After he's only sold as an evidence, lo sir de baba feres. You now have to go and ask him to do work which is of a menial nature, just in order to occupy him. Make me a hot kos of techam. I have no interest in drinking at all. Rashi on the spot. Or avolish elo kitzva, to give him some sort of work that has no end. Namely, the way the Rabbi writes to the Zavod, we tell him, listen, do work in the field till I come back from the city. And it could be indefinite. It could be who knows when. Who knows, you're allowed to go ahead and give him work to do. He's your Eved. But b'chazad, you can't give him work which is a menial nature, which has literally no definite borders. And that's Avodah Shein Lakitza. That's also because it is possible to see the Baba Farach. So what's very fascinating to me, and you probably are familiar with the Rambam is a famous discussion about a Jew who's an Eved. What's the din? Imcha b'machol, imcha b'mishta. You have to treat him royally. Kolakona Eved Ivri, kekaina odol le'atzma. You buy an Eved Ivri, you almost bought a master for yourself. Someone who's going to lord over you. You have to treat him in terms of what you have to wine him and dine him. You should not eat pasnikia, and who he eats paskiber. Atal shose yain, yoshan mu shose yain chodash. He drinks relatively new wine. You drink aged wine. You're sleeping on quilts, and he's sleeping on straw. So really, it's amazing to me that you see that despite the descent of this individual, and despite the fact that he continues to maintain his unfortunate position as a chote, the Torah tells us at every shlav, whatever we can worry about, we're still mechuyev to worry about. We're still mechuyev to treat him as a human being, as a Jew, as someone who's worthy of kavod. I'm astounded by that. I would have thought literally punfaken, just the opposite. Someone of this in this individual inclination of his predisposition in terms of chatoim should not be treated that way. So that's one aspect which is very fascinating that the Torah actually has stressed. But as I said, not explicit, but it's mashma for the Gemara Kedushin. And again, the Gemara actually looking per chafeh sukim em ches mem tes at the end of this. Also, you're not allowed to go ahead and let even a non-Jew, if he sells himself to a non-Jew, lirdos lo b'farech, but you have to try to redeem him. Echa me'echa b'igolenu, o dodo ben dodo y'igolenu. You have to try to redeem this fellow from this terrible situation. That is it. Today, Rashi says, shol yitoma b'nagoyim. We don't want him to assimilate, to acculturate among the non-Jews that he's find himself in. So even though he's an avaryon, a transgressor, shemam shechlachto, he continues to sin, pam achar pam, Yorid Madrega Hamadrega, he's falling, he's descending. The chos of the Torah is doing at every shlav of the Hidadut. Every shlav of his descent, the Torah is concerned about his, as I said, whatever is possible to be concerned about, the Torah wants us to be concerned about it. Beyond that, however, Mitzat Sheni, the Torah says that Chas V'Shalom is a result of not observing Shemitah, and that's exactly what these parashas are all about. God forbid, Rachmanu Litzlan, as a result of our non observance of Shemitah, so Hashem will bring about Rachmanu Litzlan, the Churban Hamikdash. Klal Yisrael will go into Golus. This is in Perek Chavav now. If you look at Perek Chavav, you can see this in Psukim Lamed Aleph. The Torah says that the description of what's going to be, starting with Lamed Beis, Hashimosi Ani Yisrael Aretz, I discussed this the other day. He writes that even though the non-Jewish world attempted to colonize Eretz Yisrael, they were completely unsuccessful. It took about hundreds and hundreds of years. Amazing. They tried different nations. I'm talking about the Brits and the Turks and the Ottoman Empire and a few others who attempted to colonize Eretz Yisrael. They were not successful. Eretz Yisrael waits for its true, loyal citizenry, which is Klal Yisrael. But meanwhile, because of our wayward behavior, v'yaschem ezorem agoyim, v'yikosiach aveichem choreb, v'yisrat zechem shmohah, v'yachem yu chavah, oz tirtze horetz v'sham soseh, kodim mea shamah, v'yater v'yarts aveichem, oz tishba sohoretz, v'yitzos v'sham soseh. So here Rashi points out in Chazal that the Golos came about the result of Anat observing Shemitah. So what's fascinating is that how is it possible the same Torah that yet treats the Chote with unbelievable rachmanis, the individual who committed a sin and descended, all the levels that we spoke about a few moments ago, and yet we see we're still concerned about him, and yet when it comes to Klal Yisrael for the Avera of not observing Shemitah, the Torah throws the book at us, Golos and Chuvan HaMikdash and the like. The answer is there's no contradiction. It's not a question at all. Whatever Hashem does is Latzot. And even the onshim that Hashem meets out to Klal Yisrael don't come Ela Mitoch Chesed Berachamim Gedolah Berubin. Only come as a result of Hashem's complete and total benefaction with Klal Yisrael in order to be Mesakim Lechet. Similar to a doctor, let's say, Rachman Litzan has to amputate the gangrene foot of a Cholah when he sees that that is necessary for his Atzalah, for his salvation, for his able to continue living, even though what appears to us to be, I would call it onshim noroyim, literally punishments that are frightening, that are fearful, it's all mitoch rachamim, ein sofiim. And that's itself what the Torah is describing here. So the chiddush that we're trying to accentuate and we're trying to really be madgish over here is a very important chiddush based on the Gemara Kedushin and the Chof that we listed and all these series of psukim that we read, namely, that we have to be exceptionally careful. Even someone who is descending on the ladder of spirituality in terms of Ruchias, Chas v'Sholom, Lo Lohora, Lo Lizgarbo, not to go ahead and literally aggravate his situation, make it worse, that's something which is inappropriate. The Gemara Chagiga, I remember years ago, I grew up actually, I don't know if any of you saw this, but I did when I was a young child. They had in the shuls that I dabbled in, Ashkenazic shuls. Those Ashkenazic shuls said, Shein Mishtachavim Lev Arabic. It was eliminated by most of the schools of the Sidurim. Trust me, Birnbaum doesn't have it, and all the old Sidurim don't have it. Then what I saw with my own eyes was people who waited and gathered a fair amount of Hashem Say saliva. And then when it came to Shein Mishtachavim Lev Arabic, there were spittoons in the shul that I dabbled in. I won't mention the name of the shul. You probably know some of them. But there were spittoons in the shul. I saw it every day. I'm a kid, 3, 4, 5 years old. I was totally alienated to coming to shul. You cannot imagine what it did to me. And then later on, I found the Gemara Chagiga. But the Gemara says, Al kol ne'elam in tov yimra. The Gemara said that refers to something that does something which is, let's put it, not exactly so pleasing in the eyes of the beholder. And that, the Gemara said, they'll be ultimately brought to justice. We have several drushes in that pasuk, where the pasuk says, "Ki eskolo maaseh elokim yomi b'mishvah al kol nelam tov v'rav yitzad etzkael." As we're represented, probably you base. I've talked about that, so I'm familiar with it. So that pasuk, we have several drushes. One of the drushes is this: a person who does something which is absolutely abhorrent to the. So I told that to my father when I was 3, 4 years old. My father didn't know what to say to me. Then I found that Gemara. You find that at 4, Rabbi Weiss, don't worry. Much later, I discovered that Gemara, and then the Mafreya, but Baruch Hashem, by that time, they had eliminated those spittoons. There was enough unrest and enough protest. I mean, you had anyone here ever saw that? I can't imagine any of you saw it in your lives. I saw it. Of course it is. Ari Yomazeh. I don't want to mention who has the minute. Ari Yomazeh, I won't be... They don't hide it, that's correct. A certain Hasidic sect still has it, and others have it also.
And you're sad that it's that motion, I don't even know that.
Okay, anyway, the also, we see this Yisod, and this is Yisod I'm trying to get across here, all the psukim that we began with, and the Gemara Kedushin Daf Tov, and now I'm going to bring you a host of rayas that to my mind are drum shooting regarding this Yisod, namely that even when HaKadosh Baruch was banished, Hashem is always worried about the covet of the individual to whom punishment is being meted out. So let's start with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef Hashem punishes him with a terrible punishment. Namely, he sold as an eved in Mitzrayim. And Rashi and Bereishis over there, Rashi quotes that, whom is he sold to? So he sold to a group of Orchat Yishmaelim. And what are they carrying? Nosim Nechos. Utsri Volot. Rashi said midi b'samim. They were perfume people who are trafficking in perfume, in spices of the most fragrant nature. Why? Okay, Yosef is deserving of being sold as an eved to Mitzrayim, for whatever reason. And that Chazal described as well, Rashi quotes in the Chumash, however, that he gets. But lizbol mereach ra, lo magia lo, that he should suffer from malodorous kind of merchants. They generally tend to be on the malodorous side. So what does Hashem do? Hashem is doeg that the individuals that he sold to, that shayara of Arabim, ugmaleem nosim nechot tri balot, says Rashi Kadeshalo, Yuzak Merechwa. So he should not be impacted, not be jarred by the malodorous scent that they generally tend to tend to be associated with them. No, Hashem is very medactic, even the onish that he gives out, the onish is meduktok lahafu. The onish is exactly meduyak, what exactly a person deserves to get, not more, not less. It's incredible. That's the divine punishment, the way it works. I'll give you another example, which is also a very good example, and that is the Dugma of Bilam HaRasha, where the Malach tells Bilam, Ki ato, gab oscha, harakti, ba'osa hecheyesi. Rashi explains, because if you remember, the Osam gives Tolchocha to Bilam. The Osam tells Bilam, Ba'yitach Hashem es bi'osam, rather dramatic kind of makes to say the least, and he tells Bilam, Me'asi silacha ki kisan izashal shvamit. Now we have a conversation, a dialogue between Bilam and his donkey. Bilam tells the Asam that you obviously behaved in a fashion that was, from my perspective, as your Odom, not pleasing to me, and therefore that's why I went ahead and struck you several times. And then he responds, Alo noti asomso, asher achavta alai, me'ol charayom azeh ha'askei niskanti la'asos l'chakal, that I maltreat you in any way, bayom alo. And by the way, Bilam agrees, Bilam is masking that, no, it's true. So Chazal say, and that pasuk, so Chazal learned now that what did Hashem do? Hashem decided that because the Osam vested Bilam in the Techocha, Techocha that was given to Bilam on the part of the Osam was obviously quite embarrassing, and the Osam was eliminated. The Osam basically was killed in order to spare Bilam from that busha, from that shame of being taken to task by his also. Unbelievable. Pasha that you see in Chazal, and even though we're talking about a tzaddik, we're not giving him shlishi, we're not giving him shishi, I believe the Mishnah says, it's an enel chel gom haba. Bilam lost his chel gom haba. Uber calls us, what do you see? That, okay, enel chel gom haba. It doesn't mean we have to go ahead and darshan bignuso. And was, by Bilam, kol mashi efshel lidvosh lignusam, tzara lidvoshma. We have to be dorish lignaya Bilam, because Bilam was an absolute Russia. He's Makulka, the Enchir. And you have to literally look for all that's done in the Ra. Ubachazos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chos, Abila HaKol Vishal Bilam. Even on the covenant of Bilam, Hashem is concerned with, and Amemedu kills the Asam. Why? So Rashi says, I don't have the Lashon of Rashi in front of me, but Rashi says, Shilo Yomru, you shouldn't say, Zui Shesilka es Bilam b'tochachta v'lo yochalosh. And you might have some kind of a wow, what a taira that this Asam bested his master, bested Bilam. And that would be a terrible busha to Bilam. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned about that issue. Ad kidei kach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not only doyeg on the cover of Bnei Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was even doyeg on the cover of Domimim. Ramban, in the beginning of Bereshis, points out the world's divided into all categories. Domim tomea chai medaber. Domim, of course, are inanimate objects, objects that are inert. And then we have tomea, of course, the vegetable kingdom. I took a course, actually, one of my many courses in my days in studying biology and organic chemistry, a course in plants, in tropisms. I discovered you could actually talk to plants. I don't know, as a psychiatrist, if you're into this kind of dialogue with plants. Wasn't part of your training. Okay, so apparently I encountered this, that there is a dialogue with plants, tropisms and the like. Anyway, the point I'm just trying to make, so even though there are four categories of domin, someh, chai, medaber, chai, of course, first the animals, and medaber, the Rambam calls them mutakalimun, amedabrim, vayyodom, lev, shaya, ruach, chaya, that's the Arab philosophers that the Rambam is speaking about. Not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas and kled adam, he's chas and kled domin, that we see from the psukim in the end of the parasha. The Torah says in Perek Chof, it should be. The Torah says, when you go up from his bath, the ramp. So then we're worried that we should not be knowing. Rashi said, Minag bizoyom ba'avnei akevesh. Even the avonim that are basically domain, we're worried about bizoyom ba'avnei akevesh. And Chazal were matir, as you know, the Gemara brought us your test. The Gemara says they were matir many soon because of Kavod Abrius. Kavod Abrius is very important. Aloch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chos B'Yosef, HaKadosh Shal Brius. We can bring a riot from the challah on El Shabbos, and we cover the challah when we make Kiddush. Because really, we should be saying first that the Pasuk says, when it describes the Shiva Sabinim, the seven being in the church, so with Mishtabeach, Eretz Chita Sa'oram, Yevin Teina Rima, Eretz Zeh Shemen Uvash. So Chita comes first, so we should really be doing the Chita before the Kiddush. In order not to embarrass the challah, but the challah is embarrassed. Again, we see the same concept of Kavod, even when it comes to a domain, a number of values for this in Chazal, you see this idea. So in general, what you see is that Kavod HaBrios and Kavod for every human being is something that we have to try our best to maintain, literally down to the very Kotze HaAchara. And it's interesting that they say, I mean, I read when I came to Eretz Yisrael, actually, I became very interested in the Chazon Ish. I wish I'd be more interested in his writings, in his halachic writings. I just don't have time to really examine them properly. But I read a biography of the Chazon Ish in 5 volumes. I actually read some of the biographies of the Chazon Ish. I'm astounded by his personality. So I saw, what? Be'er Ador, that's correct. That's what I read. First week I came to Eretz Yisrael. I bought it. The second week, the third week, this was already 28, 29 years ago. And I haven't seen it since then, but I have a good, I went through the Sefer pretty carefully. Again, I never know the extent of the, how shall I put it, of the nature of the stories that are told in these forums, which tend to generally be somewhat grandiloquent. They say other things about you, which also are good things. So, but anyway, the story I saw there is that someone in Oreach came to the Chazon Ish. I remember the story. And when the Oreach was about to leave, so the Chazon Ish asked one of his Talmidim to be Malavah him, to go and escort him. That would be appropriate. So afterwards, he asked the Chazon Ish, he said, why this Oreach was such a Talmud Chacham for the Dolei Hador, that Magia lo Kavod Kazeh, that is worthy of this Kavod. So the Chazon Ish answered that Mitzad HaEmes, no. He's not such a Talmud Chacham, lo magia lo kavod kazeh. However, he sees himself as a great Talmud Chacham. And Mavela, since he sees himself in that kind of light, therefore, we should give him the kavod that he expects to receive in order that he should not be nifka. I was astounded by that story in the Per Ador. So one has to be exceptionally careful about, as I said, individuals and the kavod. There's another very good biography of Chazon Ish, Rabbi Weiss, we're starting with the biographies, Maisa Ish, also several volumes, also read that. But that I didn't read 28 years ago. I read it in the last number of years. Generally, what people give me, I tend to read right away. Otherwise, then it just goes on the shelves. And unfortunately, when the Satan of the Charis of Adam, the young Rabbi, I've come to conclusion that possibly the Margitin quotes it. The Satan of the Charis of Adam, the young Rabbi, is that's what the marker for camera is. When the Satan of the Charis, the Adam, the young Rabbi. Hope you don't mind my little lusher. Okay, so. We have to be cognizant of another issue, which is also a very important issue. Albanat parim, to embarrass someone, you have to be exceptionally careful not to bogeh b'chol ha'adam. The Gemara says to the Daf Hayomis and Daf Yud. So the Gemara is a famous Chazal, which is put in the context of Tamar and Yehuda. Noach lo la'adam, the Gemara says, she'ap al'asmo t'chim sh'ra'esh, b'al yam v'chaveh v'ram. Better you should throw yourself into a fiery furnace, rather than, God forbid, embarrass someone in a public kind of way. So of course the question is, what did I do to him? I didn't touch him. What did I do? I just embarrassed him. Hilvanti as pano. I went ahead and was malvin pano. And yet the Gemara says, wow, you better throw yourself into a fiery furnace rather than do something of that nature. So the Pesukim of Machlokes, what does that mean? Is that to be understood pshutu k'mashmo? Is this one of the halachas you heard about Yavor? We're familiar, heard about Yavor, there are three sins, three cardinal sins which the Jew is obligated to give up his or her life. Either Arayish or Islam or the Zohar. Clearly, Avodas Panim is not mentioned in that context. However, Tosfos and Daf Yud and Seita, and that is over there. And in the Shari Tshuva, and the Yena also has this chiddush, massive, massive chiddush, that they take dvarim kipshutam. But Rav HaPoskim did not agree with that, thank God. Well, Apostle still like the Rambam, that we don't say this is one of the Gimel Averas. But still, even if it's not Gipshuto, even we don't assume it's Gipshuto, but still, it shows you the Chomer HaIsur. It shows you the, literally, the enormity of this Isur, this prohibition, that God forbid Chazal speak about terrible, terrible repercussions that will come to impress the Rahman al Lissan, and the person violates this halacha. So, what was that? Rabbi Yehuda says in Shara Tshuva, I believe it was in third Shara. What? It's not mashma like that for Mishnayos, no mashma for the Gemara like that. But Rabbi Yehuda writes in Shara Gimel and the text of the spot, because they say, because the Gemara says in Babatia that a person's color changes. So that's the Shrikhas Dovin parallel. Okay, but then I'm glad you, I'm here with you, I'm sorry, correct? That's 100% correct when you point that. But again, we have to be exceptionally careful regarding this matter. I saw another story in the Maisa Ish, since I'm now thinking back of stories of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, actually, there's a story with a that he met a Geret Tzedek. It was a very pitiful kind of person, and he argued, this Geret Tzedek, that nobody gives him proper kavod. I have a, I don't know if you'll agree with me on this next statement I'm about to make. I'm involved with Gerim all the years I'm at Eretz Yisrael and before I came to Eretz Yisrael as well. There are a number of Gerim in this neighborhood. I have to know all of them. And most of you don't know them. You may know one or two of them. I know all of them. So unfortunately, as a Rav, I get involved with all these people. So I told them not to reveal the fact that Gerim to anybody else. I told each one of them. And the reason is because, unfortunately, the Gemara says, 36 places, the Torah tells us about not being Ma'ane Ger. And unfortunately, people are Ma'ane Ger. I'm not sure why, but they somehow, the Briskis are incredibly careful regarding all these things. Regarding Yizasim Al-Mod al-Lisan, the Pasuk Mishpatim, and regarding the 36 Mekhemi Shezir, we had the Asalavashi Shia, two chaps, I mentioned the story already a few times, two chaps who they could say anything that was absolutely, to my mind, in learning, unconscionable, irrational, incomprehensible. The Rav would then listen to what they said, and he would turn it to Chiddush Torah. He said, oh, you had this in mind? You had this Ramban in mind? This Shtickle Torah in mind? I said to myself, they didn't have that in mind. Not even a Chabad did they have it in mind. They were completely, they were almost illiterate. And they sat in the shir. So I said, there must be, as my father would say, something fishy instead of them on. So we went on some Shabbat work, discovered they were Geri Tzedek. That's why Rav Soloveitchik treated them as he did. Trust me, if I was to say something like that, I'd be slaughtered alive. And I was slaughtered alive many times. But they were not touched because of the issue of Geris, of Geri Tzedek. So I tell this to Gerim, doesn't mean that what I'm talking about the following. When the person has children, the Ger, the Gerim, want to get married, they're not mechuyev at the outset to tell them that you are a child of a Ger, of Yoris, and once the situation begins to emerge and develop, of course, at that point, you have to reveal some information in Shum Sofek. But it's no similar, no different than other kinds of situations that we're going to reveal. Kachani, Posek Ba'alocha, and based on many, many years of experience, several decades of experience, and it's turned out to be a bracha, this approach, as opposed to, because there are people who will not want to get involved with it. Even though Bishoshim, Bishisha, Mikomas, again. And then when I tell this to people, what is their first reaction to me? Would you let your children marry a Ger of yours? Right away, that's their reaction to me. And the answer is yes. I'm being quite honest with that. I don't have difficulty with it. On the contrary, I think that the Ger of yours who are Geri Tzedek, I'm talking about Geri Tzedek, I'm discussing all kinds of other situations that exist out there. But real, authentic Geri, on the contrary, we have to, it's a bracha, be involved with such people. You know how the Rambam has a letter, a famous letter of the Rambam, where the Rambam is told by a Ger that he's being maltreated by his Rebbe, and he doesn't understand. And the Rambam says, Ishtageya? Your Rebbe went off the deep end? He lost all of his marbles? Rambam is very strong, Lashamas. How can he maltreat you? Mishloshim, Mishishim, Mekamas, Zero Tzal, Alas Ager. Okay, this is just the Derech Agav comment. But back to the Maaseh, back to the Chazanish story. So the Geret Tzedek, so he complained to the Chazanish, he was not being treated properly, people were mechabed him, and he was crying in front of the Chazanish. It was clear that he had a very deep kind of ke'eh. So the Chazanish said, I want to be mechazik you. Can I sing a niggun for you? Chazanish, he was not known as, shall we say, from the Talmidim of Shlomo Kalbach. So he was not from the Bali Begina. That's the understatement of the year. He begins to sing a niggun, and he begins to dance. Dance with this Ger Tzedek, the Chazanish. This I saw in Maaseish, this story. And he wanted to give a good hargosha, a good feeling. He wanted to be Mesameach him, wanted to be Mechazik him. And there are so many such stories, and there's a famous language of the Ger Sagro, which I'm very fond of. I learned the Ger Sagro with my father, Sofen Lebrochem, when I was a little kid. And so the guy, I don't have the Lashon in front of me, Chaval, Chaval, but more or less, I'm pretty quoting it correctly, that the Gaon says over there, Rov HaTorah L'Sameach Lo'od. That's Rov HaTorah. To Mesameach HaLashon Acher. We have to try to make people happy. We have to try to be Mesameach them. Give them a good agoshim, give them a good feeling. And we know that the Gemara has a tainus over there, the Gemara from Beis, famous Gemara with Eliyahu HaNavi. That's a well-known Gemara where the Gemara has two people. Eliyahu HaNavi said to the Avgad, who it was, the Bnei Olam Haba. Why? Because they were always involved in Bat Chanut, always trying to get people happy, to be Mesameach them. That's a mirror in Madrego, the Valdig Madrego. Call that the Vim Madrego, so it's for a Litvak like me, Shtigl Briska, it's not so easy. We have to overcome a lot of Yitzurim in order to be able to do that. But Baruch Hashem, that's what we're obligated to do. So that's a very significant aspect. And this is what I'm just trying to accentuate in this year. First, for the Gemara Kedushin Dachof, that even though there's a denouement, even though there's a little a diminution of the individual, and he goes, Midechi al Dechi, Mipach al Pach, as I described. Ubechozot, at each stage, you have to hold on to him. You have to be mechazik him. You have to be mesameach him. You have to make sure he doesn't fall. And that's the process. That's zaktavot. Yomach achicha. Even when someone is down, ki yomach achicha, dech zaktavot. I spend most of my days in the yeshiva involved in sach nashim. I do what you do, Dr. Pinchik, but I don't do it as well as you can. You're a professional. But I do what you do basically most of my day. I schmooze with young men most of my day trying to figure out what life is all about. And it's no simple matter for 18, 19, 20-year-old people to figure out what life is all about. I try to be Muhammad in the Derech HaTorah as best I can. But oftentimes I spend my time. This guy tells me, listen, Rosh Shiva, this learning stuff is not for me. I can't handle this. It's too much. How am I supposed to learn a piece of Gemara? They come at 18. Many of them can't, literally, $30,000 a year. They can't read. Can't read, can't daven. And they give up very quickly. They throw in the towel. Chas v'shalom. I want to show them. So usually they become my korbanos, those people who come to talk to me. That they regret it afterwards. They end up learning with me with Chavrusa, and they end up learning having to be subjected to me for a year, sometimes a year and a half, sometimes 3 years. But I've discovered the last 3 years of my life, you can turn them upside down. Many of these young men today are rabbanim, amusmochim. And look where they came from. Wow, absolutely. And it's not astounding to me. You have to believe in yourself, and you have to give the person a sense of self-esteem. You have to be magish the individual and try to build up every individual, give them the kaychas that they all have. Kol echad b'madrigasa, everyone in their own kind of way. They always say over, they tell over a story with, I think it was of the Yochai Meisels, famous, he was the Rav of Lodz. I'm not so familiar with Poland. I only took one trip to Poland, my wife's, and I really didn't want to go to Poland, but the yeshiva sort of compelled me to go. This was many years ago, about 16, 17 years ago. I went, but I decided not to focus on the concentration camps, but rather on the yeshivas of old, Antels, and basically Kletsk. We went to all these places. I went with Avdom Kamenetsky. I don't know if you know him from Harnof. He's the son of Ashmuel, son number three. Anyway, so he became my roommate for over a week, including Shabbos, and he knows, wow, he's a bibliophile, Sheikh Kolo, he's a monumental knowledge of Jewish history, Mithraim Jewish history, and Polish Jewish history. He's a walking encyclopedia. And he only went to Tanay Echad. He came to Madrid. And he'll come to his grandfather's city, which was an 8-hour bus ride. And we'll look for his grandfather's, Rabbi Kamenetsky, look for his grandfather's home, which we found. It was a broken Zabrachana kind of thing, but he was very, very happy that he was able to get there. Anyway, Mikitzer, so one of the people he spoke about, so Leo Chaim Meisel, was a Rabbi Lodz. And so they say about him that he once knocked on the door of a wealthy person in a winter. Obviously, he was looking for whatever particular mission he was on, raising money for that particular mission. I don't recall what it was right now. And the usher opened the door and invited the Rav in. And he then began to speak to the usher. And meanwhile, it was freezing outside. And this usher began to literally, he was shivering. And after a few moments, he said, yes, how are you? What's your business? What's going on? And all that, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, he said, why are you standing in the cold? Why don't you just close the door, et cetera, et cetera? And let's say we'll be a bit more comfortable and the like. And so the El Chaim basically told him, listen, regarding to this Magbit, whatever, I forgot what it was for, maybe it was for, I'm sure it was for Aniyim, that I came to collect money, maybe they need firewood, maybe they need fuel in the winter. He said, and that's why I kept you in the cold, but you should feel a little bit what they're going through, exactly what it's all about. And so that is exactly, the Ani is someone who's shivering and obviously going through a very difficult period of time, Hashem the Asher, he's in a different state. So that's what we have to do. We have to learn how to be magish with the other person. There, Rav Soloveitchik always said over from his great grandfather, the Beis Halevi, his name is the Beis Halevi, that once a Jew came to Merit Pesach, this is the story I heard of. It's in all the Sfarim and all the books about the Beis Halevi, and he asked them that I have no money to buy wine for Dalakosas. Can I be kind to mix with Dalakosas with milk? A very, very famous, well known story. So the Beis Halevi took out whatever number of ruble from his pocket. And he says, take 20 ruble as a matana and go and buy yourself the yain avakosas. So the Rebbe said, he asked her husband, he asked the Beis Halevi, yain for dalakosas you can buy for 3 or 4 ruble. What do you give him 20 ruble for? So he answered, because don't you understand, this person obviously, now did he have no wine, didn't have any meat, didn't have anything. I gave him enough to buy meat and wine, et cetera, et cetera. That's the way we have to be, chachamim levonim. We have to be magish and ani, we have to be magish. People who have different types of issues that they're confronting, have to try our best. And try our best. It's not always easy to go ahead and deal with, especially during this period of time of Tamnei Avakiva, Shalom Kovazevazeh. I was approached by someone this week who's having major difficulty with their children and being mechanich them, and they're all over the place. And trust me, Kilo, I have the answers. I asked this person, why do you think I have the answers? Because you're a Rav, and therefore... That will make whether I'm Baal Mephis, I'm somehow a miracle worker who can somehow help the individuals.
I wasn't
the reason. My wife's out of control. Baruch Hashem, Hashem to bless you. What? So this is a machas medina. It's not just this one person. And anyway, so I said to him, listen, I'm willing to spend time with you and to try to advise you, but in order to really address this issue, it needs approximately 500 hours, maybe 1,000 hours, not just with you, with your husband, with all your children, individually, collectively. And then maybe we can talk about it. So we had a fair amount of discussion, like my whole week was devoted to this. And we may have made some progress, but nowhere near what's required. You don't change overnight. Nor do you climb Mount Everest overnight, nor do you scale the Himalayan mountains overnight. Nothing happens overnight. It's a long process, but one thing is clear. We have to try to find the self-esteem of every single individual, find where they belong. And these are the days on the Abakim, Allah, and Kabbalah, Zebazet. We have to be mischazik in this area. We have to try to find the self-esteem of each individual, to acknowledge the second person. One of the difficult things that a Rav confronts, and I have the problem here, and every single Rabbanus I've been in, you have a number of individuals who are on your case, Kolel and Kolel. No end, caution. Kolel, even in this outstanding, wonderful Shul of Beis Tfilah, they don't let you alone for a second. And whatever the reasons are, you learn to have, not just, you don't take it in a personal kind of way, because I have this good of a package there for many, many years that I'm not affected personally by things that people say to me. I'm not affected, which takes a while to develop that kind of skin, elephant skin, back in there. B-A-C-H-Y, probably took Latin, I took Latin. The kids are so my father insisted I take Latin, a few other languages along the way. I took Spanish, you won't believe it. Yo hablo español muy poco, but a little bit, I have that. And a few other languages, I'm typically German because of Alpine Soloveitchik, to read the Malar and these unbelievable essays of these academicians that they wrote in scientific German. We have to somehow find a way to be Zohar, Bekovet Abrios, and to somehow be Mechazik everyone that we possibly can. I think it's the main function of a Rav. Rav has two functions, to Mechazik people and Shalom Bais, to make sure that the Shalom and the Kehillah and people should interact with each other, ultimately appreciate each other, understand each other, and all the difficulties that we have doing that, and all that will bring about a question that will be Zohar to by giving cover to each other to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. Shukran to all of you. I didn't think I was going to get here tonight on time.